Welcome to the Curious Coach podcast that explores my journey into the world of professional coaching. The one thing that we quickly discover is that this world can be a very confusing place with such a broad array of different types of coaching on offer. Life, career, executive, business and confidence coaching, just to name a few.
I think it's a process of knowing and of getting to know yourself. So it's as simple as that. It's about knowing yourself better.
In this podcast series, I'll be exploring all of these and much more, drilling down into the fundamental principles and philosophy of coaching, as well as investigating many of the tools and techniques employed by coaches. Along the way, I'll be talking with a broad range of professional coaches and other experts.
Welcome to the Curious Coach podcast. So buckle up as we travel around and explore the world of coaching. Here's your host and professional coach, Stephen Clements.
So where to start this podcast series? Well, let me introduce myself and we can take it from there. My name is Stephen Clements, a professional coach who works with ambitious professionals who might be feeling a little stuck, frustrated, or confused with figuring out how to turn their dreams into reality, and who want to find those next steps so that they can create a better life for themselves and their loved ones. I work as a senior manager within a global organization where I'm fortunate enough to have opportunities to coach internally in addition to my normal day job. Outside of the organization, I also have a number of private clients, and my goal is to get a broad range of coaching experience so that I can learn and develop my own versatility as a coach. As I learn more about this amazing world of coaching, I want to use this podcast to share my journey in the hope that it might be of help to others traveling on a similar path or considering it in the future. So if you're interested in coaching, whether developing yourself as a coach, applying a coaching approach to your management role, or maybe getting yourself a coach, then this podcast series should be just what you're looking for. I qualified as a coach in the summer of 2018, having completed a certificate in professional coaching with Coaching Development Limited in Portlaoise in Ireland. The course was facilitated by Alva Harrington. Alva is not only an amazing coach, but also a superb trainer. Over the last 25 years or so, I've obtained a number of different degrees, certificates, and taken any number of training courses, and none of them have come close to the experience I had during my coach training with Alva. It really was life-changing. Not only did I learn valuable skills, but I also learned so much about myself along the way and about what I really want to do in life. In some ways, it's as if I was searching for something, and thanks to the coach training, I feel as if I've now found it. I asked some of my fellow coaches about why they chose to become coaches, and here's a sample of what they had to say.
I love working with people, and I love learning with people. I love discovering new things about myself and perhaps being on a journey with others where they can discover new things about themselves.
It's really being there for the person, going through this journey with them, finding the best of the person for them at that moment, where they want to go.
I had accessed coaching and a number of other things, and how it helped me to progress to what I wanted to do and be in life, that I felt this was the space I'd like to be in to facilitate that development and see others identify what it is they want and reach their own potential and their own awareness of where they wanted their path in life to go, and to actively take that into their own hands.
I experienced coaching myself, and I really realised how transformative it was, because I went from literally doer to being self-reflective. I think that people have so much potential in them that coaching is a huge way to tap into that potential and really live their truth.
I learned to simply practice just noticing without judgment what's going on in my head, my heart, my gut, and learn to trust that inner intelligence and use it to make better choices and decisions to navigate through life and experience a more wholesome life.
They always liked to talk to people and to help them. But I realized very quickly that giving them advice is good, but it's not always what is the best for them. And I discovered that coaching gives the possibility to people to find their own answer.
I found it extremely rewarding to change direction at this stage of my career. So that's why I became a coach.
When coaches talk about why they first became interested in coaching, there's a number of common themes that start to emerge. One is the metaphor of being on a journey, seeking something, perhaps fulfillment, perhaps something else. Another is a desire to help people, not in the sense of wanting to rescue them, but to help others achieve their own goals, and, in the process, actually helping find themselves. Others come to coaching having perhaps experienced therapy to deal with some form of trauma in their past. My own coaching journey started a few years ago when I became curious about coaching whilst searching for something better, something more rewarding, more fulfilling. Eventually, I was to meet a man by the name of John Noble as part of an internal coaching program that brought together those who wanted to give and receive coaching and to understand more about it. In this instance, I was lined up to be John's coach, despite John already being a qualified coach, so no pressure there then. But in reality, John ended up helping me more than I probably helped him. It was thanks to him that I was inspired to begin learning how to develop myself as a coach and ultimately become qualified. When I first met John, I was immediately struck by his humanistic presence. He's the sort of person that you feel you can instantly trust. He's complex with many, many layers and very interesting philosophies, but he's also authentic, caring, and displays a strong desire to care not only for himself, but for those around him. When I told John I was creating a coaching podcast, he readily agreed to be interviewed. So I asked him, how did his coaching journey begin?
It wasn't really a straightforward journey. I had a lot of trauma in my life about 4 or 5 years ago. Lots of things happening, you know, relationship breakups, somebody died in the family, financial crisis, and also having to make a decision about moving jobs and things, which I didn't really want to do and I was forced to do. So that was a lot of crisis. I think you have one of two choices when you're in a bad place. You can sink lower or you can get up, you know, off your backside and do something about it. And what I decided to do was get up off my backside and do something about it. So, you know, I trained as a coach, but I also went and had, also went into therapy as well, which was part of my healing process. I needed to heal all the damage that had been done, that I'd probably done to myself, because a lot of this stuff I think we do to ourselves. It's not done to us, we do it to ourselves. And I needed to kind of understand, you know, that process. And once I understood it, I was able to do something about it. And I think the coaching helped with that, because what coach, actually, when you're training as a coach, what I found is that it helps you to look at yourself. In fact, you have to look at yourself. And if you're going to be a good coach, you have to know who you are before you can really support and help other people. So that was, you know, one of the reasons why I suppose I went down that road.
The decision to become a coach is not something that typically happens overnight. It usually starts as a thought which percolates over time, eventually bubbling to the surface of your consciousness. For John, he ended up doing a 3-day mindfulness retreat, and it was here that the coaching thread started to appear. Then, having completed a course on empowering relationships, he embarked on his coaching diploma. Aside from coaching internally, John primarily works as a senior manager in the IT industry. He's 61 years old and clearly passionate about coaching and his life journey. And now that he's on this journey, I was curious about what's driving him forward and motivating him.
I think, Stephen, it's something that's always kind of been there in me, really. It's just doing something that you feel content with, happy with. Yeah. And I think what's great about coaching is that you don't often know whether you've actually really helped the person or not. It's something that, I feel I need to do. And it's also about having a legacy, you know, of leaving a place where you've, you know, I've worked in the IT industry now for a long time. And I think that if I can leave that knowing that I've helped with people's well-being and I've helped coach people and I've helped them to make, you know, help them to help themselves to make decisions about their lives, then that's one hell of a legacy to leave behind. So that's kind of quite important to me. I don't want to just be somebody who delivers projects. I want more than that. And I think I can deliver more than that to people. And that's become extremely important, particularly as I've got older. And achieving in terms of academic achievement or achieving in terms of, you know, within my career, it just isn't important to me anymore. It's more, what's more important to me now is really to support people and help people. And that's always been at the back of who I am as a person.
Coaching itself can be a hard to define and confusing term. What's the difference between coaching and mentoring? How do you actually define coaching? Well, the International Coach Federation, or ICF for short, is the leading global organisation dedicated to advancing the coaching profession and has the world's largest organisation of professionally trained coaches. The ICF defines coaching as partnering with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximise their personal and professional potential. Whilst I'll be exploring this definition in more depth in a future episode, John outlined to me what his internal clients are looking for when they come to have a coaching session.
But what I found quite quite interesting really is that everybody comes to you with issues that are work-related. But when you get behind those issues, what you find is that many of the issues that they present are really about their own well-being and about them, you know, trying to make decisions about their own lives. It's not really work-related at all. And in fact, I think that's the case for just about every single person I've coached. I think it's a process of knowing and of getting to know yourself.
So how does a coach go about that process of knowing and helping a client to get to know themselves? It sounds so simple, but this is where the perceived simplicity of the coaching process can sometimes mask its transformational potential and the impact that it can have for a client.
I think it's part of my responsibility to help people to get to know themselves better, and doing that in an environment which is, you know, very safe is very open to them being able to have a conversation about themselves and that they feel safe and comfortable doing that. So I suppose trust, respect is something that you bring into the coaching relationship. It's not there to start with, but it's something that you build probably in the first hour that you're coaching somebody. And I think I just go wherever I feel the client needs to go at that moment in time. It's a conversation. It's a very important conversation. And sometimes I do need tools to help guide through that, because sometimes it's people find it difficult to come up with, you know, topics, I suppose. But in the main, I don't think I've really had a problem with, you know, I suppose in terms of the way that I coach. But I always find each coaching session amazing. It's fantastic to be able to see. What I was taught as a coach was that people can work it out for themselves. And, you know, I really believe I don't just believe, I know that that's the case for most people. If you give them the time, you ask them the powerful questions, the right questions, then they can work it out for themselves. And that's what I found through the coaching process. I've never had anybody really who's been in front of me yet anyway, who hasn't been able to work it out for themselves, which I think is fantastic. And it's a fantastic thing to know that human beings can work it out for themselves. They just need a bit of time, a bit of care, a bit of kindness, a bit of support, and they can work it out. So I think that's what I love about coaching. And that's why I think it is important, because if you can get people to sit in front of you, you can get people to buy into the coaching relationship, and you're good as a coach, and you know your bit, you know your stuff, then you can get people to work it out for themselves, which is brilliant.
Coaching is based on a partnership between the client and the coach. Coaches will sometimes describe the coaching process as dancing in the moment with a client. And for me, this is such a lovely visual phrase, one which really reinforces the notion of partnering with a client, letting them lead the dance to where it needs to go, but remembering that you're right there with them, flowing, reacting, supporting, and mirroring their moves. It really is a lovely image. For the partnership to be successful, it must be built on trust, openness, and safety. Carl Rogers, an American psychologist and humanist, developed a new therapeutic approach in the middle of the 20th century. This was the client-centered approach to therapy. It was a fairly radical idea at that time, as it was based on the idea that the client was the best expert in their own lives, and therefore the therapist should follow the lead of the client rather than directing the client. Rogers identified three factors that would be critical for creating a growth-promoting climate in which people can realize their inherent potential: congruence or genuineness, unconditional positive regard and acceptance, and accurate empathic understanding. In many ways, Carl Rogers was igniting the beginning of coaching as we now know it today. As coaching is a powerful partnership, you can also begin to appreciate that a coach can learn as much from the client as the client can from the coach.
The biggest learning for me really is to slow down. So for instance, what I do more and more of now is, you know, when I go for a walk, the walk used to be about exercise. Now it's about enjoying the beauty of nature. So it's taking in the views, it's taking in the sunlight, it's taking in the, you know, I walk along rivers and seas, so it's taking in the beauty of the water. And a lot of the times I'm walking in the early mornings or late evenings, and I'm taking in the sunsets and sunrises. And, you know, I've never really appreciated them before. You know, in the last 4 or 5 years, I've really appreciated that part of living on this planet, how absolutely beautiful it is, you know. So it's enabled me to open up, I suppose, in a way that I wouldn't have done if I hadn't have had those experiences. And it's funny that that was kicked off by trauma. And it's very sad to think that often what happens to us human beings is that it's trauma that makes us look at changing ourselves. It's a pity that we couldn't do that without the trauma.
I've described my own coaching journey as life-changing. It starts with self-awareness during your coach training, but it also continues as you coach other people and reflect on what's going on for you. It's a humbling experience to be trusted by others as they speak from their hearts about what they're trying to achieve. Ultimately, the benefit for you as the coach is that you do get to know yourself better as well.
Before I actually started coaching, I started meditating. And I found it very difficult to meditate. You know, when I went on to this 3-day retreat, there was a lot of meditation there. I'd never sat silently for, you know, an hour before in my life, only when I was sleeping. And that's not meditation, because when you're meditating, you're actually conscious. So the meditation helped me make decisions around becoming a trained coach, but so did the influence of others as well. Some, you know, my partner pushed me a bit because I wasn't going to start the coaching course. When I did, I was going to leave it 6 months, and she just turned around to me and said, "Hey, look, why wait?" You know, and I took that on board. But the coaching, and I think this is just a natural part of who I am and who I'm becoming, I suppose, has led on to other things, because I now do a much deeper meditation. I'm doing a yoga meditation where I'm doing a number of yoga asanas now for about 20 minutes, and then I'm doing a 21-minute meditation. And I never thought I could ever sit on my bum with my legs crossed for 21 minutes in my life. Here I'm doing that, and I've done that now for 6 months. I haven't done it every day, but I've done it 90% of that in that period of time, which is pretty good going for someone like me. And the other thing I've done as well is I've done something called Qigong, and you know, I'm probably going to look at becoming a trainer of Qigong. Qigong is like a Chinese version of yoga, if you like, but it's very much stretching. It's very slow and gentle. But when you do a Qigong session, which is the type of Qigong I've trained in. This is 12 movements. It's quite exhausting, actually. You know, it takes you about an hour to do the whole thing, and it ends up with a meditation. But after it, you're quite, you know, you're doing this all very slowly, but it really does give your body a good workout. So, again, that's a thread, for want of a better way of putting it. You know, it's a thread to lead onto other things. And I don't know where I'm going to go next. And it doesn't kind of really matter whether I go next. I just know that life has got a path for me and I'll follow it.
From my own experience and from talking with other coaches, there is that shared sense of being on a journey. But equally, many of us aren't quite sure where that journey will take us. And in some ways, we accept and embrace not knowing. All we do know is that the destination isn't overly important. It's more about the experiences along the way, about having a sense of purpose, and about making a difference.
I'm not sure, because I'm not one of these people who've got a journey planned out, you know. I kind of these days tend to live each day in the moment. And I know that's kind of a cliche, but I do. And I think it's important to do that. I may go on and be a master coach. I don't know. I might find that when I get into Qigong, I love that. And that's where I end up. I really don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't really care. And that's not being frivolous with this. It's just it'll go wherever it needs to go. And I kind of feel that that's okay for me. You know, I don't have to plan everything now meticulously like I used to. I'm not obsessed with getting qualifications. You know, my experience and experiencing people as a coach is what's really important. And as a coach, I think you learn as well. You learn about yourself from other people. How can you not? If you're listening, you know, they can teach you stuff, and they do teach you stuff. Some of the stuff they tell you is painful sometimes as well. So you also learn to deal with pain that's within you in a different way, in a different light as well. But I've got no real set plans in terms of where I go next with coaching. I just want to continue doing what I'm doing. But I'd also like to see coaching come into the way that we lead and manage people in corporate organizations. I think the corporate organizations are still a long way behind other organizations in terms of the well-being agenda, but they are catching up. And I think coaching at a personal level, team levels as well, will help them do that. And I think it's really important that there is a focus from a corporate perspective on people's well-being, of which coaching is part of.
As my interview with John came to an end, I asked whether he had any advice for anyone considering starting their own coaching journey.
Do it. Just do it. You know, it's like coaching needs all kinds of different people. There isn't a set person, I don't think. I think if you want to do it, that's enough. You know, you go on the training courses, they'll teach you the basic skills. And once you've got those, it's then down to experience and confidence and believing in yourself as a coach, you know. I'd say, yeah, just go and do it.
Well, that's it for the first episode of the Curious Coach podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and that I've set the scene for the journey that lies ahead, a journey that I've already started on, and I hope you'll join me again on our next episode. I'd also like to thank John for not only agreeing to be interviewed, but for also helping me start my own coaching journey. I'm also grateful to everyone who's encouraged and helped me to get to this point, where I finally stopped thinking about doing this podcast and actually done something about it. Further information on everything covered in this episode can be found on my website at stephenclements.ie/podcast. And don't forget, that's Stephen spelled with a PH. If you've enjoyed the show, please hit the subscribe button on your podcast player so you'll automatically be notified of future episodes. And why not consider leaving a review? Thanks again for listening. And until the next time, don't forget to stay curious.